Hey, so I don't know if you guys have heard or not, but the economy kind of didn't have a really good year in 2009. I don't know if you knew that.
No.
There were some stories in the paper about it. I mean, just you. But
is there anybody taking blame for that?
No, I wouldn't worry about that. No. But I know that you fear for our elected officials and what their financial well-being might have been during 2009.
I hope they were able to make ends meet.
Well, the Hill has gone to the trouble of putting together a list of the wealthiest members of Congress, and I know it's shocking to find out that they actually grew richer while the economy was struggling last year. Yeah. John Kerry once again tops the list for the second year in a row.
Amazing.
Now, it's somehow, I don't know how they were able to do this, but somehow they put together guidelines for reporting their level of wealth so that they're, well, there's a gap in there. They kind of bracket things so that you'll know that it's worth between this and this. So all we can tell you is that John Kerry, Democrat of Massachusetts, has a minimum net worth of $188 million.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
A minimum?
Minimum. See, that's...
Wow.
Yeah. And that's up $20 million from last year.
So, where does his wealth come from?
Well, mama first.
Well, okay.
Yeah. But nonetheless, it went up 10%. Do you know many people whose net worth went up 10% in 1 year?
Not mine.
Mine didn't either.
While the economy struggled through a recession during much of 2009, the nation's unemployment rate soared to 10%. The stock market did rebound some, and that's what helped lawmakers with large investments do so much better. So there's Kerry in at number one. The only newcomer, by the way, to the top 10 would be a Texas boy. That'd be Representative Michael McCaul.
Well, he's the wealthiest member of the Texas delegation.
He married well. He's in that Clear Channel corral.
Well, never mind.
Yeah, he's in that Clear Channel corral. So yeah.
Your money doing? That's the question.
He broke in at number five, which is not bad. Not bad. Let's all feel sorry for Harry Teague, though. We've never heard of him. He's a Democrat from New Mexico. He fell out of the top 50.
Ugh.
Gotta hate that.
That's a shame.
Yeah, but anyway, he's still worth...
What gets you into the top 50?
At least $1 million. Mm. Yeah, if you got at least a million. But for instance, let's look at number 12. Number 12 is Nancy Pelosi. Nancy saw her net worth rise by about $9 million.
Oh, she's saving on travel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that the truth?
Most of the growth came from her husband Paul's purchase of a United Football League team and a new investment fund. I don't know.
It's the, the springtime league they play like?
Is
there's
that
like
it?
Six teams. They play, I don't know, 7.5 games or something like that. And they've got a team in Orlando and then Vegas.
So he bought that.
Well, that's now, a guy that's sight unseen.
Yeah, the couple. Well, he's a Bay Area real estate dude. So obviously that
isn't
is
some
money.
Isn't there a Hannity promo that says somewhere there's a Mr. Pelosi?
Yeah. Now it says here that they own several San Francisco properties, including one valued at $5 million. The vineyard they have.
Mm.
Now, wouldn't you like to know how much the vineyard is worth?
Yes.
Be glad to tell you, it's worth between $5 and $25 million.
Oh, how somewhere.
How much was that San Francisco property?
Well, they have one valued at $5 million, and then
so it's about 2,000 square feet.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, it's a fixer upper.
It's a one and a half bath.
Yeah.
Convenient to shopping in Texas, A&M.
Right. But again, the vineyard is worth between $5 and $25 million. They wouldn't want to really nail it down any more specifically.
25% is as close as we were able to get.
Let's not split hairs here.
No, I mean, you basically know what you need to know. So, what other questions might you have?
Nothing and while to see here.
That's right.
Some part of the year, it's only worth $5 million, and then when we have grapes on it,
yeah, it's worth more than that. Ron Paul.
Well, what it does, the only reason they have that vineyard,
yeah,
is so they can have, you know, farm truck tags on their pickup.
You know, you're probably right. By the way, which reminds me, last week I'm in the Grocery-torium parking lot, and I see one of these is it a Mercury MXK? Is that what that's called?
MKX. That's a Lincoln.
MK. Okay, it's the Lincoln that's MKX. Which
two
is
days
a,
for you for the Mercury references.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it's an SUV, right?
For a non-existent product.
Yeah, really? I mean. It's an SUV. Is that correct?
Yeah, they made an SUV.
Yeah.
It had farm truck plates.
Oh. I think I've seen one of those, 30 wheels?
I think I've seen one of those Honda Ridgeline pickups with farm truck
well,
plates
that,
before.
Okay, that's getting closer. And then they got Cadillac's got that pickup truck. Yeah, that's a joke. But
that's
anyway,
an Escalade truck. Is
yeah,
what it is.
Absolutely. Yeah. But anyhow, yeah, the, it was a Lincoln MKX with farm plates.
Daddy, Daddy, can I drive the Lincoln? I got to get some feed.
Got some hay coming out of the back
here.
Hey,
you cover the leather seats.
Yep, hello.
I just want to know how many of these rich politicians are willingly paying additional income tax because the wealthy need to pay more.
Well, you know, you're right about that because that's your patriotic duty. Isn't that what,
that's what Joe Biden said?
Our vice president told us.
And he can
that.
Say that because he's not one of the richest
yeah,
members.
That's true. He pretty much, well,
he's
I don't
just
wanna,
a guy that rides the train.
I don't want to call him a working class hero, but nonetheless.
Let's not get carried away here.
Closer to us. Ron Paul, you know him. He's a longtime representative for Fort Bend County, that part of Texas.
Brazoria.
Yeah, Brazoria. Yeah. He said he plans to introduce legislation to force an audit of U.S. holdings of gold. He, in fact, says he believes it's a possibility there might not actually be any gold at Fort Knox.
Well, there is that myth.
Well, I know.
He's been watching one too many History Channel documentaries.
That's what I'm thinking.
The next thing you're going to tell me is there's nobody buried in Grant's tomb.
Well, and I don't know.
I mean, that show went to commercial, and he went, legislation.
Yeah.
I got to act now.
That's right.
Before the popcorn finishes.
Quick, call my chief of staff. Yeah. Now, yesterday, I happened to watch.
Now, what if that was the case?
Well, they're
yeah. Geraldo will be there.
Nothing in there. Yeah, exactly. The opening of Fort Knox.
Yeah, he won't even find a Coke bottle.
No. But yesterday, and just also you mentioned history, because history has some good stuff, but boy, history's got some weird stuff in the afternoon.
Well, I mean, it's not history related.
Yeah.
So.
Aren't they doing these reenactments and stuff? That
yeah.
Stuff I don't care.
But
for.
I turned this thing on at 3 o'clock in the afternoon or something like that, and there's history discussing how the bubonic plague. In fact, was not carried by rats.
Oh.
That was aliens.
Oh.
Aliens came down and they apparently sprayed a bunch of people, and that's how we got the bubonic.
Did you watch Springer afterwards?
Yeah.
Yeah, really? What, you couldn't get Oprah to come in?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I
nobody
watched
to turn the antenna for you?
I did. The dish wouldn't turn. Had to get out of there.
Come on, I'm missing Oprah.
Just a little more.
Yeah, apparently that's it. Hey, Glenn Beck's event at the Lincoln Memorial on Saturday may have looked from afar like a chummy meeting of thousands of Christians joining hands in prayer, but the reality is that Beck's spiritual emphasis is actually making some of his fellow conservatives nervous.
Oh?
Well, that's because most Americans, Beck is the wrong kind of religion.
Isn't he Mormon?
He is Mormon, a follower of a religion that is deemed by many to be a cult. Christian Newswire says, Glenn Beck promotes a false gospel. However, many of his political ideas can help America. Now, I didn't see this whole thing. I saw some of it. And I don't think he did he proselytize at all during that? I believe he was talking about coming to God. And I don't think he said anything about becoming a Mormon to do this.
No, I don't think he did.
And I mean, if they want to take shots at him, that's fine.
I figure and I have no experience with it because I didn't see I've seen not 1 second of footage from this event, but don't you think that if he had, they would have pounced all over it.
Oh, well,
that Glenn Beck's event became a giant Mormon evangelism effort.
I think they're trying to jump on it anyway. That's my point.
They got to find something.
Well, you know, if you get, anywhere between 250,000 and 87,000, depending on who you talk to, you get that many people together for a cause. The cause was merely to restore America. And I think, again, I heard him speak for, 5 minutes. And again, each time he implored people to turn to God for leadership. And that was what he was asking. And so, again, yes, he is Mormon. He freely says that he's Mormon. It's not a surprise to anybody.
Well, lest we forget, you know, Mitt Romney kind of had to give his mea culpa here, yes, here in College Station,
right,
Texas. So.
Absolutely. A writer for the Worldview Weekend said, "While I applaud and agree with many of Glenn Beck's conservative and constitutional views, that does not give me or any other Bible-believing Christian justification to compromise biblical truth by spiritually joining Beck." He did not ask you in any way to compromise your beliefs. Not at all. That's why I'm not...
Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, I guess that's the reason that these people wanted to get that story out there.
Well, yeah, the problem today is and I'm going to paint with a very broad brush,
sure,
here, but
okay,
we can see evidence of it. You know, the story that you're relating, is a microcosm of it. The problem now is that too often we cannot look at someone and say, "I agree with you on this, and therefore I respect you for that opinion, but I disagree with you on that." It has to be all or nothing. It seems to be that the world we live in today must be all or nothing. I must agree with you on 100% of what you do in order for us to coexist. And that's not how this country was founded in any way, shape, form, or fashion.
Not any movement has to be with compromise. It has to be. Find the grains that you like in there, and then move forward. Use that as the stepping stone.
Well, I mean, I can read any number of books. I can read any number of books, be they theological or be they historical, and I may not agree with everything that a person says because I may have reason or conviction or proof to the contrary. But it doesn't mean that I can't look at that work and say, there's some good things that can be borrowed from this. There's some good things that I can apply to my life. There are some basic principles here that I can take and apply to my life, and I'm not compromising anything by doing it.
Purpose-driven life is an excellent example. There's a book, and you're not going to, I don't think you will agree with everything in there. I know I didn't.
Is that
I read
the Rick
it.
Warren book?
And yeah, I read it, and I found segments in there that were fine, but there were other parts that I very much disagreed with him. Now, I can take good things out of that without agreeing from cover to cover that that's a good publication.
But the problem is that if you disagree with me on one thing, you disagree with me on everything.
Yeah, it's
and that's the problem, because that is the extreme to which we have or at which we have arrived, not to which we are going. We're already there.
It's a different extreme of purists.
Yeah. Well, so, and certainly that from again, what I saw from the Beck thing, I thought it was a great thing to do. For people to feel like they had a voice at some level, and for them to decide they want to go in and trash Beck because of that, I think is wrong.
To be fair, let's go back. August 28th, 1963. You're going to tell me that every person on the mall that day was in 100% agreement with what Dr. Martin Luther King had to say that day?
Nope. They saw him as a leader that could take them to a higher ground, to a different place, but not necessarily in lockstep with him. Yeah.